Rough, rugged, and raw, that could describe the archetype of a hip-hop star or a down-low brother. The two are not mutually exclusive. According to author Terrence Dean, there are plenty of men in the hip-hop, television, and film industries who lead double lives, posing with glamorous women in public and sleeping with or having full-fledged relationships with men in private. Dean's book has garnered wide attention for its detail, including descriptions of stars given pseudonyms to hide their identity. His book is called Hiding in Hip Hop, On the Down Low in the Entertainment Industry from Music to Hollywood. Terrence Dean, good to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Farai. How are you?
I'm great. So let's start off with a little background on you.
Yes.
You, throughout the book, reference, it's in some ways a memoir as well as an investigation, and you reference a couple of moments in your childhood, one when you were just four and another one when you were being babysat at an older age. Can you just give us a hint of those?
Yeah. You indicated when I was 4 years old, I was with my mother at the time, and there was a man who was in the other room sexually assaulting my mother. And my grandmother came to pick me up because she generally did that once a weekend. And when she came to pick me up this particular weekend, this man who was sexually assaulting my mother, he came to the door and pushed my grandmother inside the room with me, tied her up with my mother's pantyhose, and put a gun to my head. And because I was crying, you know, because it was a very traumatic experience that I was going through, and I didn't know what was happening at that time. And so at 4 years old, I remember that, the recollection of that happening and the experience of that and the traumatization of that. And what I knew then and what I know now as a young boy growing up, and I said, wow, this is my first experience of what it is that my mother and who she is. And as it also relates to when I was 13 years old, the second incident when I was with the male next door neighbor at my cousin's home and was sexually assaulted at this again. And then it seemed like the play on it literally happened to myself. You know, at 4 years old, I witnessed it happening to my mother. At 13, it is happening to me.
So in some ways, it's remarkable that you were even as open to sex and sexuality as you were later in life, given some of the things you went through, because you describe scenes where you're in a world that is not open to most people, but you're able to, you know, hang out, flirt, be respectful. And one of the things that comes to mind is this whole scene you have at a taco and cards party.
Yeah, yes.
Taco and cards. It must be an LA thing.
Right.
And you find out that the entire party is basically full of folks on the down low. So
exactly.
What did you learn in Los Angeles about the way people who are in the industry and who are also on the down low socialize?
Well, I realized early on in my career as a man of color, in this entertainment industry, because I had not seen a person of color who was openly gay in an executive decision-making role. I had never seen a producer, a director, or anyone of that capacity who was openly gay. So I knew early on, learning coming into this career in this culture, that I had to keep my sexuality a secret in order for me to advance. And once I got to L.A. and I started socializing with other men and women who were like myself, closeted men and women down low, but we created an environment where we can be amongst like-minded individuals, and such as you indicated, the taco car parties, where we can socialize, fraternize, and just help each other navigate this industry, because we knew, you know, we could not come out, because unfortunately in our community, in the Black community, there has not been a real dialogue or discussion about sex and sexuality, especially as it relates to homosexuality. And so the view and the idea of it is totally disregarded. So these people knew that they would jeopardize their careers, their livelihood, and even their family and friends. So that's why we created this atmosphere where in these individual homes that we can be amongst like-minded individuals and share and encourage one another. But again, it's very deceptive and very deceiving. I don't want to make it seem like it was, you know, something that I wouldn't want to pride myself on and being a part of, because it is very deceiving and deceptive to women who are unaware and a part of relationships that they have no clue that the men are sleeping with other men while they are leading these women to believe in their monogamous men and heterosexual men.
In fact, you had a relationship with someone that you call Charles, a hot
yes.
relationship, but
yes.
you ended it. Why?
Because Charles had a fiance. He had several women at the time, actually. But I also knew that I would never be number one in his life. And throughout the book, I do discuss, You know, for me, I was searching for and searching to be in a monogamous relationship with an individual, especially a same gender loving man such as myself. But also realized in the entertainment business, that can never happen because many of these men had wives, they had girlfriends. And in the case of Charles, he had a fiance. And he led me on thinking and hoping that, you know, somehow we were actually going to be in an intimate relationship one-on-one until he, you know, divulged to me that that was impossible, that would never happen.
Well, let's go back to the industry side of this, because this is really a memoir of your life in the industry. There are many gay white men and even lesbians, people like Ellen, who are incredibly powerful in Hollywood and in the entertainment industries across the board. Why is that not the case for, why can't there be the equivalents in the African-American world?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, you know, and I state those claims before, you know, and, you know, like a Bill Gates, I mean, David Geffen, Ellen, Rosie, George Michael, Elton John, Lance Bass, like a lot of these people, you know, unfortunately, our white counterparts and colleagues are able to come out of the closet. Their community supports them because, as I expressed in my book, they have a nurturing environment where, for them, sex and sexuality has always been a dialogue and a discussion within their community. They have communities where they exist, and they help support one another, especially out in Los Angeles. You have West Hollywood. In Atlanta, you know, you have the Midtown area. In D.C., you have DuPont. San Francisco, New York, you have Chelsea. But we don't have those types of individual communities for people of color, for same gender loving people. So we don't have an idea of what same gender loving gay men and women look like, except for when we hear the word gay, and a lot of people automatically go to a negative connotation. They automatically assume RuPaul, or some man wants to be in a dress, or very effeminate men, or, you know, anything that's remotely not masculine somehow does not fit the idea of what gay is for black people of color. And again, but the black church has also played a tremendous part in why we don't talk about sex and sexuality, because it's so demonized and, you know, dehumanized as what we are as individuals.
Just briefly, very briefly, we didn't get into all of the pseudonyms for the people who might be so-and-so, and I certainly don't want you to name any names. We don't want to get sued here, but give just enough information to be tantalizing about certain people who you identify, people who are, you know, the movie star or the lesbian who is verbally abusive to her partner. Has there been any retribution for that kind of storytelling?
Actually, there has not been. Overall, there has been certain individuals from the book who have contacted me who now are upset because they figure that people can immediately identify them. But prior to the book and while I was writing it, I did reach out to the majority of the people in the book and, you know, inform them that I was writing the book and how I was depicting them in the book. And I told them that I was changing their names and, you know, and I read to them their descriptions and things of that nature. So a lot of people were very supportive in the beginning, and a lot of people are still continuing to be supportive. But I think, you know, because now the book, you know, is festering, people are starting to read it. They're getting to pick out and, you know, identify certain people in the book.
Well,
people are becoming a little nervous.
Well, Terrence, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Terrence Dean, author of Hiding in Hip Hop, On the Down Low in the Entertainment Industry from Music to Hollywood. He joined us from the NPR studios in New York City, and that's News and Notes. Nicole Childers and Christabel Nsia Boadi produced the show. Sasha Woodruff edits. Kenya Young and Devin Robbins are our directors. Our technical director is Shireen Strausberg. Marcia Caldwell is our drive engineer. Our staff includes Tony Cox, Jeffrey Bennett, Jeffrey Gardner, Roy Hurst, Anthea Raymond, Ernest Champel, and Zachary Slowbig. Our interns are Ashley Lisney and Blake Bishton. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org.